Cheryl Batchelder, she's a former CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. This article says she turned the company around, and before you, and somebody's going to ask, how far around? This far. 10 straight years of growth. Top line restaurant sales rose by 45%. Restaurant operating profit more than doubled. Popeye's stock value rose from $15 to $79 a share. So turn the company around. With a focus on serving other people. A committed Christian in the workplace, Batchelder is the author of Dare to Serve, How to Drive Superior Results by Serving Others. And in a recent interview, she shares these thoughts on servanthood. She says, the Bible verse that's on my calendar every day is Philippians 2:3. Because I haven't found one that's more paramount to how I want to lead in my family and in my work. And it's this, you may be familiar, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And she goes on, she says, I believe we're all born with an inner two-year-old, and we'd really still like to be lying on the floor, kicking and screaming because we did not get the candy bar that we wanted. It's pretty hardwired that we are self-absorbed little people. And we learn to fake it well, but we're still pretty much that two-year-old on the inside. She says, I find this biblical perspective really challenging in every aspect of my life. How I'm spending my time, the decisions that I make, to put them through a filter of whether I'm thinking about myself or am I really thinking about others. Am I doing this because I'll get a bigger bonus check or am I thinking about the long-term interest of this company? Am I truly doing this for my franchise owners or am I getting some personal benefit out of it that I'm kind of not willing to acknowledge? It says those kinds of provocative self-mirror questions hold you to a higher standard. I always say servant leadership is an aspiration because you never really can claim you've arrived. Now, I did not know of Cheryl Batchelder before preparing this sermon. I looked up and the sources state that she has both her bachelor's and master's of business administration from the Kelly School of Business, Indiana University. She has been married to her husband, Chris, for 40 plus years. Says they have 3 grown daughters, 2 terrific son-in-laws, and 5 handsome grandsons. So, and I found Cheryl's comments, her outlook, to be appropriate. We're stepping now into a sermon about servanthood, which is pointedly designed to fall on Mother's Day. And I also thought, man, I'd like to share a couple of mom jokes. You know, you have dad jokes, they have mom jokes. And I actually found these from scarymommy.com. But they're still funny. I thought they were funny. Son, mom, can I get $20? Mom, does it look like I'm made of money? Son, isn't that what M-O-M stands for? Mother, noun, one person who does the work of 20 for free. And I like this observation. It's from Mother Carrie Underwood, and that's not her picture, but it fits. She says, I just realized that a majority of my diet is made up of eating the foods my kids did not finish. There is no finer group I know of that models servanthood like moms. And we do acknowledge that today can be a very difficult day for some people. We are missing mom. Or maybe we'd love to be a mom. Or we had a real tough time with mom. We're in different places. But I would hope that for all of us, we want family to be a place of faith and growth. Whether my family of origin fits that bill or not, whether we have kids in the home right now or not, I hope that we all want faithful families. And another thing that faithful families do is this, they teach servanthood. And this is, I believe, a lost art in many a modern society. This sounds very foreign to a lot of contemporary people, but I think if we're honest, look how messed up a lot of stuff is out there. Because many have gotten away from biblical basis for a lot of life. Philippians 2:3. That's a good place to start. You know, she had it earlier. That's one of our basics. Facts, let's start with that. Faithful families teach the facts of servanthood. And the fact is, servanthood, as you see it written there, is such a foreign concept today that I had to add it to my word processor on my computer, because I forced that red squiggly line in there for you, because my computer said, that's not a word. And I'm like, oh, indeed, it is a word. That's telling. The condition of being a servant. Servanthood. It's a word. We had a very powerful visual last week of Jesus washing feet. He is serving. You would currently see on the back of your bulletin four men where we list the position of deacon. They are leaders who serve. And it is from the Greek. The word is diakonos. You can hear it. And it is, as a noun, servant. And the root of diakonos is one who runs errands. We're back to Mother's Day. That's far for the course. One who executes the commands of another. And that diakonos is actually translated as deacon three times. It's translated as servant eight times. And the verb form is to minister. That's to serve 20 times. Some are familiar with Phoebe, a lady who is commended as a servant of the church in Romans 16, verse 1. And just after words on Phoebe, you hear where Priscilla and Aquila are still at it. They are risking their lives. They are hosting a church that meets in their home. They are equally servants. Serving is a valid use of time and energy, as true in the first century as it is today in the 21st. In the beginning of the Roman letter, Paul uses the Greek word doulos, Romans 1:1, where we have servant, bondman, under bondage, slave. And then that's where you cross over. You know, as soon as you use the word slave, you see the struggle in culture. You know, because you got to get past the very negative connotation of slavery. You know, the biblical model is not colonial American slavery. It is nothing like the monster that is contemporary sexual slavery. You know, it's not that. The facts of biblical servanthood are not rooted in an evil, sinful master who is hurting a slave or forcing him or her to do anything against their will. And I understand, human beings do not live up to this ideal, but God does. We call him our heavenly Father. He is benevolent. He is loving. He is caring. All of that. And he is still the master. And we, as servants, enter into this position willingly. God has never forced any soul to be a servant. We actually have a song that we use. Pierce my ear, O Lord, my God. And the words of the song say, take me to your door. And if you're not familiar, that comes out of Exodus 21. And Hebrews had servants. And it says right there in the text, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years max. And then he goes free. No payment. He goes free. And it says, if he wants to stay, later in the text, but if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children, don't want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl, and then he'll be a servant for life. That's a biblical concept or image of serving. You know, you have this benevolent, perfect master, Lord, on the one hand, and you have a servant who willingly enters into service on the other. And be clear on that. The latter does the will of the former. Okay? There's only one plan for the day. I will lovingly do the good works that God has prepared for me to do. That's Ephesians 2:10. How many times we quote Jesus telling his apostles, right? Go, make disciples, be my witnesses. There's nothing in any of his words like, you guys just, you do you. he never says that. He doesn't say, go do what you want. Yeah, set your own agenda for the day. No, it's always do what I am sending you to do. Do what I'm telling you to do. I'm the master. I'm Lord. This is not a contractual agreement. It's not. We don't sit down and hammer out the terms. You know, us and our lawyers on this side of the table and God and his lawyers on that side of the table. There's no arbitration. We are not presenting a list of employment demands and conditions to God. Well, yeah, I'll work for you, but I want summer off. I expect to see my bottom line increase by 15% by next Tuesday, and I expect a 6% cost of living annually. Yeah, that's not how this works. And that's kind of hard for some people to grasp. Yeah, we're free agents in every sense of the word, but there's really no negotiating in this. And if I had more time, I'd go into the fact of the matter is this serving God gig is still the best job you and I will ever have, paid or unpaid. You know, it's not always the most relaxing. It's not even always the easiest. But at the end of the day, it's the best job in the world to be a servant. Mary, right, Jesus' mother, how does she reply? God has a life-altering offer, Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And how did that play out for Mary and her family? I say ultimately it works out pretty good. You know? Now, faithful families will offer opportunities to try serving. Dave Stone said, nothing builds our humility like serving others. That's what makes this a tough sell these days. Humility isn't a big character trait that a bunch of people want to pursue. Dave said this, I got to wrestle with this. The single biggest sticking factor for kids holding on to faith is serving. And I hope you see that. I wrestle with that. There's a lot of families that want that. There's a lot of people who say, what's the sticking factor? How can I make faith stick in my family? And there's a lot of merit to this idea of serving. Now, has this church, like any other church, had kids who, as we say, move through the chairs? Right? They grow up. Have we had some where faith appears, at least at this point in time, to stick more than others? Yes. Did they serve? And young people of all ages today love to serve. They're very willing to serve. To do a project for people, people will come and serve. You say we're going to put up the basketball pole out in the parking lot? A bunch of kids will show up to help do it. Put a deck on that exit right there is the emergency exit right out that door. And if you ever, God forbid we have to leave for a fire, but if you have to run out, that deck was built for you by those kids. You know? There are young people right now who are helping to mow, give meditations, lead worship, paint. Some of them just left for children's church. Communion this morning. You know, when we put in the playground across the way, you had people from the community who came to help. You know, this new swing set that we have over there, I don't have a picture, but the new swing set, that was completely provided for us by the homeschool group. We didn't have to do anything. Didn't pay for it, didn't put it together. You know? We found that one of the keys to having such a huge turnout for our winter carnival was what? We let the people serve. We let them bring something. Bring a can of food for the pantry. You know? Service. When can a church offer a service opportunity and the whole family can work together? And Dave Stone, if you are familiar, he preached at Southeast and it's a giant church. They did one of those night to shine. It's prom for those who have special needs. Tim Tebow Foundation. They had 900 participants show up for Night to Shine. 900. How many volunteers does it take to put on a prom for 900 kids? Red carpet people, paparazzi, hair and makeup teams. And as you listen to Dave talk about it, he'll say hundreds of people who got lost in someone else's needs. And you see that here. I go to a vacation Bible school staff meeting. I already had several. Stuff's already in the works. Right, there are already decorations that are being put together, set designs. Play practice is going on now, right now. People who are serving towards July. Churches are always looking for entry points. You know, how can it make it easy for people to serve? Because sometimes some service just takes more experience than others. Sometimes it's good if I can come alongside a seasoned veteran. We'll work on this together. If you contemplate the whole mowing thing in a zero turn, you're like, oh, I've never driven one, we'll get it out for you. We'll put it in the middle of the parking lot where there's nothing around. You can just try your luck, you know. It's not that hard. You'll get the feel in a little bit, you know. Emily Pastor, a young woman, wrote this. She said, on Mother's Day, I would love to see a group of older women standing in front of the service who were available and willing to take a younger mom under their wing. In my mind, a mentor is not someone who has all the answers or who is some spiritual giant, but someone who is willing to listen and love. Because really, all tired moms need to keep going is a listening ear, a good cry, maybe some banana bread. And just serving alongside somebody else makes it easier. If you suggest to someone, hey, you ought to go serve in the soup kitchen. You ought to help pick up trash. They might do it. I bet they'd enjoy it more if you went with them. You know, Dave's talking about that night to shine, he's, you know, hours. He says, why is it that people who are dead tired from serving will stand around and talk after it's over? You know, I said, the service takes on a whole nother level when there's fellowship involved. How, and think of your own household. How might we be able to serve together? We had John 13:3 and following last week, Jesus on the night of his betrayal, right? It's going to unfold into his crucifixion in a very few hours, and he gathers all the guys together. What does he do? So he does not pull a whiteboard in there and say, okay guys, let's list the top 10 miracles I've done in 3 years. That's not what he's working on. It's washing feet. I have set you an example. Moms, how do you serve your kids? Really? Did you just ask that on Mother's Day? Of all days, we do it all the time. I agree. Emily Pastor, who is 27, by the way, when I was reading her work, she says, this June, I will have 3 children, 4 years old and under. Suffice it to say, I am tired all the time. This stage of motherhood with small children is very physically and emotionally demanding. I love my family and my work as a mom, but that doesn't mean the work isn't hard or taxing. Often my most basic needs must take back seat as I care for my children. For every day that I fall in bed satisfied with a day full of snuggles and sparkly, magical parenthood moments, there's another day in which I see my brokenness and failures to measure up to be the perfect mom I always wanted to be. And I read another piece from a woman, Nicole Johnson. I think it's powerful because it's called I Am Invisible. It all began to make sense. The blank stares, the lack of response, the way one kid walks into the room while I'm on the phone and asks to be taken to the store. Can't you see that I'm on the phone? Obviously not. No one sees when I'm on the phone, or cooking, or sweeping the floor, or standing on my head in the corner, because they don't see me at all. I'm invisible. Some days, I'm only a pair of hands and nothing more. Can you fix this? Can you tie this? Can you open this? Some days I'm not a pair of hands. I'm not even a human being. I'm a clock to ask, what time is it? I'm a satellite guide to answer, what number is a Disney Channel? I'm an Uber to order. Well, about 5:30, please. I was certain these were hands that once held books and eyes that studied history and a mind that graduated. But now they've all disappeared into the peanut butter, never to be seen again. She's going, going, and gone. How many often moms and other people feel that way? Unseen. And here you are telling me to serve, and no one cares. But they do care, and I would suggest that they do see. I saw recently a young man posted this. After years of her sitting in the stands and through cold track meets, It was great to sit in the theater and support her. Great show, great performance. Love you, Mom. And I happen to know the mom that was written about. And I kind of think she appreciates that post more than the stand mixer I just got her today. And I understand when we don't always acknowledge, and that's on us, but we do see. God sees. I never thought about Genesis 16:13. Of all people, Hagar, that mom, surrogate mom who Abraham and Sarah brought in to help run ahead of God and fix the problem and have a baby, and then when they have their own, they want to kick her out, and she's out there on her own. She names God. She's the only person in the Bible who names God. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Your service is seen. You know? And I don't know how, we just start thinking, how can we serve neighbors, school, teammates? Can you picture how serving together as a family is, it does something for your own family relationship? I've lived this. I've now twice been appreciative of my drywall, ceiling, hanging family crew. Nothing brings a group together like cutting and carrying and hanging and holding 4x8 sheets of drywall over your head for a long time. No. There's one family that has like special events. They try to plan things for people. They say a lot of people don't notice. We have Mail Carrier Appreciation Day. They have Trash Man Appreciation Day. He said, you're making people feel loved. You're earning the right to be heard. And you're given an opportunity to serve. And can you picture this? Said their daughter hosted a sleepover for her friends. She said, do not bring a sleeping bag. Don't bring a pillow. Don't bring any blankets. Bring one towel. And then she fed them rice in the evening. And they slept on the towels, and then she fed them rice in the morning, and she was teaching them. She said, I just want us to be observant of how a lot of girls in a lot of places around the world live. You know, just teaching people how to serve. You know, when's the last time we had time to go see Grandma and Grandpa and hear the stories? I don't know if had is the right word there. Made time. Country people have heard Cody Johnson's song, Till You Can't, right? You can tell your old man you'll do some largemouth fishing another time. You just got too much on your plate to bait and cast a line. You can always put a rain check in his hand. Till you can't. There's a box of greasy parts sitting in the trunk of that 65, still waiting on you and your granddad to bring it back to life. You can always get around to fixing up that Pontiac till you can't. So take that phone call from your mama and just talk away. Because you never know how bad you want it till you can't someday. Don't wait on tomorrow because tomorrow may not show. Say your sorries, your I love yous. Because, man, you never know. And the chorus is, if you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it, because a dream won't chase you back. If you're going to love somebody, hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can. Till you can't. We got to give our families those opportunities. And the last aspect here of faithful families teaching servanthood, we celebrate. Faithful families celebrate the blessings of serving. Celebration, I was thinking, clap out's a big thing today. You dial it up on your internet, you'll see fifth graders who are going on to middle school, eighth graders leaving for high school, et cetera. And the hallway is lined by all the little students and the teachers who are clapping and applauding as they walk out. I appreciate when I've seen people in the foyer signing the Bibles that we want to give to celebrate our class of seniors. If you remember back when we started, Phoebe, the church servant, Romans 16:1. What was Paul's choice of words there? I commend her to you. I commend her. And this is usually where somebody will tell me, well, yeah, but what if she didn't do it to be commended? Maybe she didn't want any recognition. Maybe she just wants her service between her and God. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew 6:1. Okay. But Romans 16:1 isn't between just Phoebe and God. It's God, through Paul's pen, trying to inspire some other people. I could do that. I could make a list right now of servants. I could just name names. And I thought, number one, I'm not going to name them all. I'm going to miss them. So I thought, I'd just try to do this week. I can't even get this week. I saw maintenance, mowing, both riding and trimming, work on the finances, doing the bulletin, the administration, planting flowers, meeting with lawyers, teaching kids, doing community. That's just people I saw, like physically saw in the last 4 days. And I know how tricky this spot is, because here we are trying to elevate, we're trying to honor, we're trying to commend service. And the servants themselves are like, don't even recognize me. That's not why I did it. Okay, but you got to understand, this culture needs to see this being rewarded. I don't know if this is a good example or not. Do you know any money people? Not that it's their job. They're not accountants. Or money people, in that it's their mindset. No. They're usually pretty close, right, to the bottom line. And they'll spend a little bit of time. They'll talk about blessings and benefits and like the intangible stuff for a little while. But pretty quickly, we're going to get back to dollars and cents. And sometimes it's a very difficult position for money people to see how God blesses beyond money. And so you have to meet them where they are and say, okay, how about this? The fact is, God does bless financially. He does. If you want to talk about celebrating servanthood, I would say this local congregation, I believe, has tried to be a faithful servant for God. That willingness has resulted in, six-figure gifts that enable us to pay off the mortgage 8 years early. That kind of servanthood sacrifice, I believe, results in people who are even willing to sell $1 million worth of property at a fraction of the price. And that kind of stuff's hard sometimes for money people to grasp. They don't understand the joy of serving. We need to celebrate when God blesses service. And we were talking about the volunteers. Dave Stone was talking about Night to Shine and the phrase that he used that I said earlier, to get lost in the needs of someone else rather than your own. Yeah. Motherhood, moms, we celebrate that. Moms, dads, families, teachers. Your service is a model. We celebrate that. When I was reading Emily Pastor, she said, on Mother's Day, I don't need a standing ovation, but I do appreciate affirmation and support. I need to hear that my role as a mom to young children is hard, valuable, kingdom work. Remind me that my unseen sacrifices and struggles are seen and valued by the Lord. I can hear people other than moms understanding this. I feel undervalued, misunderstood, and looked over by a culture that applauds outward and visible contributions. So much of my work is hidden away in the unseen moments of grace. As I bend over with my tremendously pregnant belly to pick up the 1,000th crayon, I receive no applause. When I respond patiently toward a tantrum-throwing toddler, no one says, hey, way to keep your cool. I sacrifice and struggle because of love, and loving others is kingdom work. I say amen to that. So I commend sisters, servants. You're modeling. It's teaching. And we always say we want to celebrate. We try to encourage today, acknowledge. Shouldn't we be equally mindful of honoring or appreciating moms and dads on a day that's not marked on your calendar as Mother's Day or Father's Day? Parents get a chuckle because usually by the end of June, the kids are saying, hey, we've had Mom's Day and Dad's Day. When's Kids' Day? And what's the answer to that? There's 363 Kids' Days in the year. And I'll say it that way too. When your kids serve, do we appreciate it? No, we expect it. I get it. It's part of being a faithful Christian. You serve God, you do your job. I get it. I've said the same thing to my boys. I know God's going to be the one. He'll do the rewarding in eternity. There's just a lot of stuff out there, a lot of far less noble stuff that's being glamorized and acknowledged. And there's a lot of good that doesn't always get recognized. If your family is serving, acknowledge it. You know, encourage a repeat performance. You know, so we say thank you to moms and ladies who model servanthood, because you all been doing this forever. You know, and we don't always celebrate like we should. Not even Mother's Day. So may we continue to try to do what we can to be a church family that is comprised of faithful families. And part of being a faithful family is to teach servanthood. Mark 10:43, whoever wants to be great must be a servant of all. And Dave Stone had these as closing words. We never look more like Jesus than when we serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are again reminded of blessings that you pour out on us and how many times it comes through faithful people in our lives. Maybe it's our mom, could have been a sibling or a child. Sometimes it's a neighbor or a coach or a friend. And Father, we would pray that we would be counted among that number that is willing to serve. It's not always easy. It'd be very tiresome, expensive, and draining. Father, there are times when people don't acknowledge we are just self-centered and take it for granted. But may we be mindful that you see us, that you appreciate our service, that you are willing to reward both today and tomorrow. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.